give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, David. Let's pray, everyone. Lord, we want to give you thanks for the fact that you're here with us, that you've been here with us through the worship this morning, through our gathering and our relationships with each other. Lord, we thank you that you're here to bring life to us and life in all of its fullness. Lord, I just pray as we dwell in your word for a few moments now that you would continue to minister to us in and through all of that, and that where there is worry, that you would break that worry today, and that we would live full and free lives as you always intended. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Nigel said, we're back into the Jesus lifestyle, the final section of that, and today we're looking at this idea of worry, about how we don't worry. I don't know about you, but this kind of falls classically into the territory of I understand it, but I find it very hard to do. And I think what we might do today is, as we kind of work through this and think about what the Lord is saying to us in and through this, we might think about how we turn this from being something that we know and we understand in our heads to something that we better are equipped to live out in our lives. But before we do all of that, what I'd love you to do for a couple of minutes is to join with me in picturing in your mind three different people. Person number one is a happy-go-lucky, chilled, pretty carefree sort of person. It's always a he, isn't it? He does what he needs to do in life, though it's true that he rarely gets anything done on time. But he's pretty relaxed about all of that. He's pretty relaxed, actually, about everything. He doesn't worry about the next 5 minutes, let alone the next 20 years of his life. And sometimes people get a little bit frustrated with him because they think that, actually, this guy just doesn't care too much about anything. But he says they're entirely wrong. He does care. But he just thinks that worrying will solve nothing. Person number two is the complete opposite. Person number two is someone who takes life extremely seriously. The state of the world economy is a constant weight on his mind. Not only does he worry about tomorrow, he worries about how he's going to cope when he retires in 42 years' time. He has a knack for focusing in on every piece of potentially bad news and making a super detailed plan about how he is going to deal with it. It's true that he's not the most uplifting company, and people tend to avoid him. But he just thinks that's their problem, because in his mind, he is a responsible human being, and the world, frankly, needs more people just like him. The third person is a sensible, wise, level-headed young woman. If you ask people what they make of her, they'll say things like she's hardworking, she's friendly, she's reliable, she's got integrity, she's always there for you if you need her, she's just a great person to be around and to know. She is totally dedicated to her family. She would do anything and everything for her family. But life hasn't always been easy. And one Saturday morning at hockey practice, her young daughter collapsed and was rushed to hospital. The doctor told the woman that her daughter had had a sudden cardiac arrest. The good news is that the daughter is out of immediate danger. The bad news is that the daughter is going to have to be monitored for the rest of her life because of the risk of cognitive impairment and neurological difficulties. So imagine that these three people are sitting in this room right now and try to imagine how they might respond to Jesus' message telling us not to worry about tomorrow. It's probably fair, I think, to imagine that person number one would take the whole thing totally in his stride. I always knew people were far too uptight in life, he might be thinking to himself. Jesus confirms that I was right all along. Person number two, the worrier, might feel a little bit rebuked, suspecting that the person delivering Jesus' message is in fact directing the message straight at him. And he might still reckon that actually he's got this far through life by worrying about things and he's done all right, and in any case, it's the only sort of life that he knows. The third person might simply be thinking, it's easy for you to say, don't worry about tomorrow. To be clear, these three people are fictional. They are three people that I have completely made up. And yet, all three of them are represented in this room, in this gathering, right at this moment in time. Because the reality is that some of us are more prone to worry than others. And some of us do have really challenging circumstances going on in our lives that you might have thought would justify a bit of worry. Worry is a human emotion. We are all prone to it to varying degrees. And that is why Jesus spends a fair bit of this Sermon on the Mount talking about it. But the really important thing about what Jesus is saying here is that he's not shouting at his followers. He's not condemning his followers. He's not wagging his finger at them and telling them it's a terrible thing that they are a bunch of worriers. He's actually doing the opposite of all of that. He's explaining to them just how much their Heavenly Father cares for all of his creation. And he's reminding them that they are the pinnacle of God's creation. Not just good, like the vegetation and the living animals, but very good, made in the image of God, created to rule over the birds in the sky and every living creature. And so if God cares for the wildflowers and the birds in the sky, how much more does he care for you? Asks Jesus. I think that one of the issues that we as followers of Jesus have with this passage is that if and when we start to worry about things in life, that we then begin to make the situation even worse by starting to feel really guilty about the fact that we are worrying. And the result of that is that we can begin to feel a little bit like a failure. And we begin to feel like that because we start to tell ourselves that the problem that we have is that we just don't have as much faith as those other people in our church, in our life group, in our community, or whatever. But Jesus' teaching is not designed to make any of us feel really bad about ourselves if and when we worry. Because it's all about how much God loves us. When I was thinking about it this week and working through it and praying through it this week, the verse that kept coming to mind was that lovely verse in 1 John chapter 3. See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. If you are here today and you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then you too are a child of God. And you might have heard that having been said 100 times over and over through the years. But this morning, what I really pray is that you would take that to the very depths of your heart. That you would really let it sink in. That God, your Father, calls you his child. He delights in you. He wants the best for you. His desire is to fill your life with joy and blessings. So Jesus isn't saying here to his followers, you're a terrible person if you worry. He's saying, your heavenly Father cares for you so much that you do not have to worry. And why does he say that? Well, he says that because he understands what worry can and does do to us in our lives. A few days ago, I looked up this word worry. I thought, where does this word worry come from? And it was really interesting. You may have known this before. It was the first time I knew this. The origin of the word worry, the root of that word worry, is exactly the same as the root or the origin of the word strangle. That's what worry does to us. It strangles us. It chokes us. It grips us. It sucks the life out of us. How many times have we been lying wide awake at 5 o'clock in the morning, worrying about something that happened the previous day? Or even worse, imagining the worst case scenario of something that might just happen, theoretically, the next day. How many times have we allowed relationships in our lives, friendships, family relationships, to be strained, even broken, because we have got ourselves into such a state of worry about something that we said or we did, or we have allowed paranoia to enter our minds about what someone might think of us? How many times have we allowed worry to rob us of the ability to enjoy our lives? The truth is that worry can choke the life out of us. So Jesus is saying to his followers, he's saying to us today, do not allow that to happen to you. Do not allow worry to strangle you in your life. Now, let's be really clear. That is not the same thing as him saying you aren't allowed to be concerned about anything. That's a very different thing altogether. But there is a difference between being concerned for something or being concerned for someone because that thing or that person really matters to you. There's a difference between that and worry, which is what happens when that situation, that thing, that thought about that thing or that person is in your head to such a degree that you cannot escape it and it begins to suck the life out of you. You suffer as a result. So how do we keep on the right side of that line between concern and worry? Because it's a really fine line. There's a huge difference between being concerned for something or someone because that thing really matters to you. That person really matters to you. You love that person. There's a difference between that and getting yourself into such a situation about it that you're carrying it with you everywhere you go at all hours of the day and night. The way in which we keep on the right side of that line is actually revealed to us near the start of what David read a few moments ago. You might have noticed that the passage begins with Jesus saying, "That is why I tell you." And he says that because there's a connection here that he's making between his teaching on worry and what comes immediately before that, namely the part of a Sermon on the Mount that we looked at just before Easter, which is all about the love of money. So what's the connection between these two things? Well, it's all to do with our attitudes. It's all to do with how we see things and what priority we give to things in our lives. Because Jesus says that if our approach to life is one where we store up as much money as we can because our future security is going to be built on the fact that we're storing up this life of security through material possessions and money, then all we're doing is putting our trust in material things that are not permanent. They're here one day, they're gone the next. That is no way to have a life of security. And he's saying to us, worry operates in exactly the same way. our attitude to life can ensure that we don't fall into a deep state of worry. Because if we get so caught up in that thing, or that person, or that situation, that God is pushed to the margins, that God becomes a secondary thought in it all, then we are going to end up feeling less secured and more worried because we have got our response the wrong way around. And that's why Jesus says, pay careful attention to where you turn to first when you're concerned with something or someone. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, Jesus says, and live righteously, and then he will give you everything you need. That's the order in which we've got to respond. That's the heart of the teaching here. It's all about priority. Now, I'm not going to stand here and pretend that any of that is really easy. It's actually really difficult to do that. There's got to be a lot of discipline involved in that, and there's got to be an awful lot of trust involved in that. Because is it not the case for you? Sometimes it is for me. That where there's a situation or a person, something in our lives that has the potential to cause us worry, isn't the first temptation that comes into our mind to try and tempt us into trying and fixing it ourselves? We think that might be speedy. We think that might be the most efficient way of dealing with it. We try to control the outcome ourselves. But Jesus is saying you can't do that, because none of you control the future. God alone controls the future. Sure, God might give us, will give us, if we pray, advice, guidance, nudges about how to go about responding to a situation. There will be things that he calls us to do as part of our response to a situation. But we've got to go to him first. Because if we don't do that, then all we'll be doing is going along and trying to improve a situation using our ideas and our plans and not his, and only he controls the future. There are so many things that come our way in life that could end up leaving us in a constant state of worry. You might be wondering why Jesus specifically mentions food, drink, clothing, and tomorrow as the things that we worry about. He's using them here as symbols. And they are symbols for daily provisions, the things that we need to keep going in life, our physical well-being, or our health, huge source of concern and worry in life, and our future. In other words, pretty much everything that we might ever worry about. And he's telling us that we end up worrying about all of these things when we lose perspective. When we start dwelling on the issue and how we might fix it rather than inviting him in to take control. But he says to us, isn't life more than food? Isn't your body more than clothing? That doesn't mean that he's saying to us that food and clothing aren't important, aren't necessary. Of course they are. But he's saying, isn't your life so much more than these things? And if you accept in your head that your life is absolutely more than these things, then why are you spending more time in your life obsessing about these things than spending time with God, who is in charge of it all? He asks these questions in order to try and get us to think, in order to prompt us to consider what our response is to worry. There's a few more questions that he asks us in the passage, and we look at them in more detail in our life groups beginning this week. There's just a couple that I want us to think about very briefly now. The first one is verse 26, when Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? I don't know about any of you, but I have never seen a starving bird in my life. I've seen some hungry birds. I've seen some birds who are out there trying to find food. I have never seen a starving bird in my life. And there's a really important point in that, because the birds do have to work hard to find food. God provides for them, but he doesn't just miraculously drop worms out of the sky every day for them to eat. And the lesson for us in that is similar, that we do have to plan our lives. Of course we do. God does call us, where we're able to work in life. But we work under his guidance. We work under his trust in his provision. We work knowing that he is working all things out for us. We do not work in a state of self-tormenting anxiety that things will never work out. The second verse is verse 27, where Jesus asks us, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? In other words, what difference is it even going to make if you spend all the time in the world worrying about something? I had a look this week at some research that was done at a big American university a few years ago. It was done actually a few years ago after the pandemic, because there's evidence that the state of people in the world at the minute, like worry is such a big thing in the world at the minute. Worry, anxiety, these levels have risen so high. Everyone thinks that since the pandemic, actually, if you do the research, you see it's over the last 20 years that this has been going on. And he did this big study into this in people all over the world, and he discovered this. 40% of the things that we worry about will never happen. Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. 30% of our worries will concern things that are just so far in the past, so much water has flowed under the bridge since then, nobody even remembers them anyway, there is no point worrying about these things anymore. 12% of our worries are to do with health worries that turn out to be nothing. 10% of our worries are fairly trivial things that nobody else is even thinking about. And 8% of our worries are legitimate concerns. That means that 92% of our worry time is wasted energy as we exert all of this mental and emotional energy on things that are just outside of our control. But the point that Jesus makes to us is that even the 8% that are legitimate concerns will not be solved by worry. Now, you might be sitting here today and listening to all of this, and you might find all of this very challenging. I confess before you all that I find this deeply, deeply challenging. This is one of the areas in my life that I need to work on so much more. I am prone to worry about things. So I'm not standing here today and telling you do not worry. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ tells all of us not to worry, and we collectively need to take his teaching to our hearts and learn why we don't have to worry. Jesus is not condemning us, however, for being worriers. Worry is an absolute giant. Worry is a spiritual giant, and we need God to help us to defeat it, because we cannot defeat this thing on our own. Jesus is saying to us, your life is not meant to be choked by fear and anxiety and worry. It does not have to be. I'm also aware that many of us will be here today carrying a very specific worry. And it might be a worry about something that has happened in your life in recent times, but it's something very real, and you just cannot move beyond it. Or it might be something about your future that you just cannot shift the worry about. Or it might be something that happened many, many years ago, and you have never moved on from it. It might be a worry that you've let someone down. It might be a worry that you've said the wrong thing to someone. It might be a worry about what your life looks like in the coming weeks and months and years. A health worry, an economic worry, But I think actually it might be a worry about someone. Maybe a child. Maybe a grandchild. Maybe another family member or a friend. And the worry that you're carrying for that person is with you every single moment of every single day, even in the middle of the night. And you love that person, of course you do. But the situation is now such that the worry is depriving you of sleep. It is depriving you of peace. It is depriving you of life itself. And this morning, as I was praying through this and spending time with God this morning, God very clearly and very directly indicated to me to say that there is someone or there are some people in this room today who are carrying a worry that God has never really, properly, fully accepted you. That you are not really forgiven. And he is here with us today, and he is not here with us today just to tell us these things. He's not here with us today for me to stand up here and communicate to you his reassurance that he loves you and he loves you and he loves you. He is here to do business with us today. He is here to transform lives today. He is here to raise us from that place of worry to the place of life, when we will know in the very core of our beings that we are loved and his deep peace is at the very core of who we are. These worries can happen and do happen to every single one of us. They happened very famously to Martin Luther. Martin Luther, on the surface, the great fearless leader of the church who shook the church to its core. But actually, in his private moments, someone who experienced moments of crippling anxiety. We might, in modern terms, call them panic attacks. Martin Luther records in his writings how he would feel surrounded by an onslaught of things that he had done wrong and things that might happen to him. He feared that these things would destroy him and destroy everything that he held dear. But here's why I'm telling you that story. There's a lovely bit in his diaries where he records what his response to this crippling fear and worry was in his life. And it was, yes, to pray. Of course it was to pray. It was to seek the Lord first and foremost in all of this. And when he did that, do you know what he would say over and over again, sometimes inside to himself in the silence, sometimes out loud, sometimes he would shout it out loud to declare it, sometimes he would sing it. He would declare over and over again the words, "I am baptized." That's my identity. And why would he say that? He's saying that in a declaration of the fact that he, in his baptism, has gone under the waters of death and he has risen again to new life that Jesus Christ had won for him, and that worry has no part in his new resurrection life. Jesus' love, he said, is more stronger than any of the things that cause me worry. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love, Paul writes to the Romans? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. It is God's love that breaks free these shackles of worry in our life. Because God is more powerful than anything that comes our way in this life. You are secure in God's love forever. There is nothing powerful enough in this world to separate you from God's love for you. When things in our lives are difficult, it is not because God has stopped loving you. The truth is that God will never stop loving you. And no, he does not promise peace instead of problems. But he does promise peace in spite of problems. Because his peace and his love are so much stronger than any of our worries. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you, the Bible says. And this morning, that is what we are going to do. Because that is what Jesus invites us to do. Jesus did not die and rise again for us that we would live some second-rate life, crippled or strangled with all of these worries. Jesus died on that cross and rose again because he defeated worry and he has defeated it forever. That does not mean that things will not come our way in life that will cause us concern, cause us challenge. But it does mean that there is a power that is available to every single person in this room to overcome, to find a new perspective on the worries that we might be holding. For our future, for our past, for a few days, for many, many years in our lives. We do not just come to this building on a Sunday morning to sing lovely songs. Brilliant as that is, it is great to spend time in worship. We do not just come to this building on a Sunday morning to catch up with each other, as amazing as that is, to experience God's love in and through one another. We do not just come to this building on a Sunday morning to hear God's word. This is the living, breathing word of God. And we come to this place on a Sunday morning to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ, to acknowledge that there are things that we find difficult and challenging, to acknowledge that there are things that we are prone to in our lives that we need God's help with, and to invite him into those situations and to transform our lives so that in and through encounters with him, that we might never be the same again. And that we would live the wonderful, glorious resurrection lives that he died to give us. That is what he is here for. That is why he is here by the power of his Spirit. Not to talk to us, but to meet with us. And this morning we are going to meet with him. We are going to give all of our worries and cares to God. And we are going to give them to him in an act of faith and a declaration that says, because I know that you care for me. Because I know that you love me. Because I know that you have the power to overcome these worries that I am carrying in my life. Your worry might be for you. It might be for someone in your family. It might be for a thing, for a person. I don't know what it is, but we all have worries. We all have worries. How do I know we have all worries? It's not because I can read your mind. It's because Jesus says 6 times in this short bit of it, do not worry or do not be anxious. He's not saying that 6 times to people in a very short space of time if he thinks worry isn't a big problem for his followers. Worry is a huge problem for his followers. Worry is a giant. We need his power, his love, to overcome that giant in our lives. I'm going to invite the band to come up to the front now, and we're going to sing in a moment. At this point in our teaching on Sunday mornings, I might pray collectively, corporately, on behalf of us all. But we're not going to do that today, because the reason why I said at the beginning there were three different people with three different worries and all the rest of it is because this is so unique and so individual to all of us. We're all at different places with this. We've all different worries going on in our lives. We're all more or less prone to worry, but we've all got worries. These things are between you and the Lord. What we're going to do in a moment is we're going to sing this song, this wonderful song of victory. This song of hallelujah that declares that Christ has overcome all things. And during this song, what I'd love us to do and what I invite us to do is to actually put that verse into practice. That verse that says, give all your cares to the Lord, for he cares about you. And there are different ways in which you might do that. You might want to sit silently and do that. Or today, amidst the worship in a moment, you might decide that actually you want to put a line in the sand and a marker down, and you want to take a step of faith that says, I am declaring boldly that this worry in my life is over. I am not living like this anymore. And what we're going to do is I'm going to invite the prayer ministry team forward in just a moment. And it's going to be prayer ministry at both sides of the church. And what I would love and what I invite you to do in the name of Jesus Christ is to come forward. That's your response. That's your act of giving all of your worry over to him. And to go up to the prayer ministry team. And I don't want you to say a single word to them about what your worry is. That's between you and the Lord. Maybe it isn't even a specific worry. Maybe it's just the fact that you're a worrier. And to go to the prayer ministry team and simply allow them to put a hand on your shoulder and to declare over you in the name of Jesus Christ that you have faith, that he has broken every power of oppression in your life, and to ask him to fill you with his presence and his love and his peace now and forever. If you're willing to do that today, then I believe the Lord will do powerful things in and through that. If you're sitting in the room right now and you're thinking, actually, if I get up and go forward to the prayer ministry team, everyone's going to be looking at me. Nobody's going to be looking at you. And actually, nobody's going to be looking at you because Jesus says we've all got these worries. We're all in the same boat here. We all need his help. So I'm going to invite you to come forward to be prayed for. If this is something you would like to be prayed for, it'll be a very short prayer. It'll be a short prayer of commissioning that you live a new life. It'll be prayer of anointing that the chains of oppression are broken in your life and that you would live a new life from this day on. And we are going to raise a hallelujah to our God, who is the only one who is able to do this in our lives. You can come forward individually. You can come forward as a couple. You can stay in your seat if you want. It's entirely between you and the Lord. But do not leave here today with a burden in your hearts that Jesus Christ is here to break. Do not worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. Let's show him how much we trust him. We would normally, at this point, parents would normally pick up their kids. Do not worry. Your kids are having the time of their life in that room. I can see them right now. Your prayer might be for your kids. Your prayer might be for you to let go of an anxiety or worry to do with your kids. You don't need to say what it is. They are happy as Larry up there, let me tell you. That's what we need in our lives, that joyful, simplistic, that joy of the Lord. So come forward. Be prayed for, and let's give all of the glory to God, and let's leave this place today as transformed people. Let's stand and sing.